I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Parenthood. One of the most distressing experiences for both children and parents is persistent bedwetting. The shame of not being able to control your bladder at night, like a baby when you're not a baby, is mortifying for children. And their shame and embarrassment is excruciating for their parents. It has significant implications too, reluctance to have sleepovers or go on school trips, and therefore missing out on parties and bonding experiences, as well as a huge amount of washing. Well, today I've got my sister and co-founder of The Parenthood, Dr. Kiara Hunt, with me to talk about how common bedwetting is and how we deal with it. Kiara, welcome.
Thank you.
While we're happy to talk, we're happy to post about our children's triumphs on social media, bedwetting is something very few people talk about, understandably. But this would just suggest it's rare. But is that true? Is it more common than we might think?
So I think that's one of the most important things to realise is that bedwetting is really very common. And, you know, most children will have at least one or two other children in their class, certainly at the age of about seven, who are still wetting the bed at night. So it's common. I mean, I'd say about one to 10 in 15 children age seven will still be wet at night. And even teenagers, which people don't think about one in 75 teenagers will still wet the bed at night. So it's really very common. It does run in families. So if you as their parents wet the bed, then it is quite likely or more likely that your children will.
And when does it stop? Does it always stop at teenagers, or are there some adults who wet the bed too? Is there something that affects adults?
Yeah, much less commonly. But yes, there are some adults who are still on the treatments for bed wetting. And that's what we'll talk about today, what the different types of treatments available are. But I think it's also important to remember what's normal and what's not. So a lot of people come to me telling me that their four-year-old is still not dry at night. Now, that's not abnormal. Abnormal bedwetting is really from the age of five. If your child is regularly still wet at night from the age of five, under the age of five, that's still normal. That's just their body maturing and getting used to the idea of being able to hold the urine in at night. So most people, and we've done potty training podcasts, haven't we? But you know, potty training generally in the day starts from about the age of two. Sometimes it's earlier, and sometimes it's a bit later. But you know, it's not uncommon for reception children aged four to still be in night pants, pull-ups, pyjama pants, that sort of thing at night.
And it's probably better to kind of continue using them when they are still wet at night, even though they might not be wet at night all the time, just to sort of prevent the embarrassment of having wet the bed.
Well, there's actually an argument against that really if you're trying proactively to stop them being wet at night after the age of five, then there's an argument to not wear the night pants, because the actual sort of waking up in a wet bed can help the child to learn to hold the urine at night.
And what are the causes of bed wetting? Why do children wet the bed?
So, I mean, there are lots of different reasons. So after the age of five, and you can divide it generally into four different categories. So there's the sort of not feeling the urge, not feeling the need to pee at night. And that's not because they're so fast asleep. So a lot of people say to me, my child just sleeps so deeply. They don't feel that, you know, they're not awake enough to feel the urge. But actually, it's because their brain doesn't recognize the signal of a full bladder during sleep. So this is where sort of bedwetting alarms, which we can talk about in a bit, can help. But you can look at sort of signs of the type of bedwetting your child is doing to see if it might be that. So, for example, if the child doesn't wake up, so they sleep through their bedwetting, or they wet the bed late in the night rather than earlier on, and that might be a sign that they're just not recognizing that signal of the full bladder. Their body's just not recognizing it. Another cause is that their body is just making too much pee at night. So we all have a hormone called vasopressin, which we become more sensitive to as we get older. But it basically tells our body not to produce as much urine at night so that we don't need to pee. Because if our kidneys produce as much urine in the nighttime as we did in the daytime, we'd all be getting up to pee during the night. So most of us produce vasopressin, which suppresses that urine production. But some children don't make enough of it. So their kidneys just produce too much urine and then they have to pee because their bladder's really full. So you'd know that because they're really wet. Some children are just really, really wet and they're peeing throughout the night. They're wetting early in the night. Their pee is quite dilute. It's not that strong smelling urine. So if that's happening, that may be the problem. And then that can be treated well with medication. Sometimes they've got what's called an overactive bladder. So their bladder just doesn't stretch enough at night to be able to hold the wee in. And so even a little bit of wee will make their body need to pee. So those sort of children are children who are peeing a lot in the day as well. You know, that every hour they're sort of needing a wee, and they tend to be doing lots of little patches of wetting the bed throughout the night. And then the final type of cause of bedwetting is what we call secondary bedwetting. So this is a bit different. This is when the child has been dry for a long period of time and then suddenly starts wetting the bed again. So this is something that is really important, actually, that they see the doctor about, because it can be caused by certain medical conditions like diabetes, things like that, or it could be caused by stress. And we can talk about that, stress or high levels of anxiety. So there could be something going on at school or at home that's triggered that. So that's something to be aware of as well.
And in terms of the secondary enuresis?
Enuresis, yeah. Secondary bedwetting, or enuresis is the medical term for it.
So in terms of secondary bedwetting, what age does that affect? Is that sort of more like 8, 9, 10?
Or... No, not necessarily. Your child could be 5 or 6, but have been dry at night since they were 4. And then they suddenly start wetting the bed again. And that is considered secondary enuresis. So it's essentially, if they've been dry for at least 6 months, regularly, no accidents at all, they'd be considered dry at night. And if then, for whatever reason, they start wetting the bed again, that needs looking into.
And I mean, you've mentioned sort of medication and other therapies, and I think a lot of parents would be really relieved to try something that was maybe not sort of medicated. Are there any simple things that we can do to help a child that might be wetting the bed before you go into the sort of medical things?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, every parent should be doing this before going down the route of seeing their doctor. And you may be trying some of these things before the child reaches 5 if they've actually shown signs that they can be dry at night. So a lot of it is about water. So making sure they are drinking plenty of water in the day, so they're not having to catch up at the end of the day and then having full bladders at night. So making sure that they are, you know, taking water bottles to school, drinking with all the meals, and having regular wee stops during the day is really important too. And making sure they pee just before bed, making that part of the evening routine. Making sure that they have a nice, relaxed evening routine, you know, no screens, no running around and sort of a bit hyperactivity in the evening, because that signals to the body that it's not bedtime, that it's daytime, so that vasopressin isn't produced and they, you know, they're more likely to pee. So that's important. Things like, you know, like we talked about, trialing without the night pants, even though their pants might be wet every morning, giving them a trial without pants can just help sort of make that link between their brain and their body.
And presumably that slightly depends on the child. If you've got a child who's going to be really distressed by waking up with bed sheets, it's probably not worth doing. But if you've got a child that... Yeah. Might be less distressed.
Yeah, and or even just more motivated. So that's the other thing. Motivate them with whatever it takes to motivate your child, star charts, reward charts, you know, bribery if needed.
There's some children that like just can't be bothered to get out of bed.
Absolutely, yeah. So really? And, well, there are some who just don't really mind that much. And if they're not motivated, then they're less likely, or you're less likely to succeed with them. So definitely motivating them, and also motivating them and praising them, not necessarily just about being dry, but about engaging in the process of getting dry. So, you know, praising them for doing a wee before they go to bed, praising them for putting their pants on, for putting their pants in the bin in the morning, you know, that sort of thing. Like, motivate them for cooperating for the whole journey, not just for being dry. Because ultimately, it's not their fault. They're not trying. Most children are not trying to cause their parents work by wetting the bed. And then avoiding caffeinated drinks, you know, hot chocolate even, or certainly fizzy drinks, sugary drinks at night makes quite a big difference. A lot of people actually ask me about lifting, you know, is it good to lift the child? But actually all the data suggests.
Explain what lifting is.
Yeah, so lifting, i.e., child goes to bed at 7, parents go to bed at 10 or 11, and before they go to bed, they, in their sleep, will lift the child up, put them on the loo.
Not in the parent's sleep.
No, in the child's sleep, lift them up, put them on the loo. They might wake up a little bit, but generally they're sort of half asleep, and then they sit on the loo and they do a wee, and then they get put back to bed. Now, the trouble with that is it's a sort of short-term solution. It's probably keep them dry at night, but it's not teaching the child's body to recognize the signal that they need to wee, because it's you as the parent deciding that they need to wee rather than their body. So generally speaking, it can be quite useful when they're just transitioning to having dry nights, sort of when they're in that 3 to 5 year age gap. But once they're over 5, the advice is not to lift them, so that their body can actually respond to the cues that they need.
Because presumably too, that's if they're not really waking up, it's teaching them that it's okay to wee in their sleep.
Exactly. So again, if you are going to lift, make sure you properly wake them up and that they really are awake before they actually do a pee. And that will try and avoid that.
And at what point would you start to become concerned if your child is wet? At what point would you kind of go to make an appointment to see your doctor?
I think if your child is over 5 and you've tried all those things we've just talked about, you've been doing all the good routines, you've been avoiding things that can, you know, that can make it worse, and it's still happening regularly, then it's probably worth a trip to the doctor to decide whether anything needs to be done. But go armed with information. Like I talked about earlier, the different causes of bedwetting have different types of symptoms in terms of when they're bedwetting, how much they're bedwetting, what the kind of concentration of the urine is, etc. So do a nighttime diary for your child, which is sort of documenting all that information, and go to the doctor, armed with that, so that between you and them, they can decide what the sort of next best course of action is.
And presumably you should be doing that diary for what, like a month before you go and see your doctor?
I think at least a week, but yes, the longer the better. And also document other symptoms. So, like I said, one of the problems can be an overactive bladder, but your child then will also have symptoms of an overactive bladder in the day and pee a lot during the day. So make a note of that. Again, one of the really common causes of bedwetting is, which I didn't mention, is constipation. So if your child is really constipated, then all that sort of constipated stool in their bowel is taking up space from where the bladder can expand into in their abdomen. So they're going to feel that urge to pee sooner. So if your child tends to be constipated and they're wetting the bed, then treat the constipation first, because that's very likely to help treat the nighttime bedwetting.
And so how might your child be treated is there always a treatment for it? Is this something that can always be resolved?
There's something that can always be tried. You'd never have if you take a child over 5 to the doctor to say this is a problem, you're not really, you shouldn't be sent away saying there's nothing we can do. Just let your child grow out of it. But there's some stages as to what you would try when. So the first step would be to try what we call an
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Neuresis alarm or a bedwetting alarm, which is trying to help your child's body recognize the symptom or the feeling of a full bladder so that they wake and respond to it rather than just wetting the bed. So these are kind of, there's a sensor which detects when the wetting starts and activates
the sensor in the pants of the
child. Yeah, exactly, wherever they're going to get wet, but generally in the pants, and that will activate an alarm, which will then wake the child. And at the beginning of the wetting, and then waking them causes their bladder muscles to tighten and will stop that wetting progressing. And as the time goes on, the child will associate that feeling of a full bladder with the need to get up and use the bathroom, and not need the alarm to wake them up, because they'll respond to the signal from the bladder without the alarm kind of being the intermediary. But it's not a quick fix. It's not like you use the alarm for a week and suddenly they're dry at night. It takes quite a long time, and a lot of parents take it can take a few months to work, because the child needs to get used to the sort of waking up and responding to the alarm. And again, motivation here is so important. You know, the child's got to be motivated to actually respond to the alarm and help their body learn. So again, lots of that praise around everything to do with using the alarm, putting it on, changing their pants, etc.
How often does that work? How successful is the alarm?
So that's probably the most successful. Most children who wet the bed between the age of five and seven will respond to an enuresis alarm, as long as it's being used consistently. And the parents are doing everything they need to be doing on their side too, and the child is. And you'd use it, you know, you continue using it while the child's dry for at least 2 weeks. So you'd have 14 days, 2 weeks of dry nights before you take it away, and then see if that works. And for some children, if they're little, if they're still sort of between 5 and 7 and it hasn't worked at all for 3 months, the advice will be, right, let's stop, let's have a break, just put the pants back on, and let's try again in a few months' time. And then usually it will work.
But you mentioned also that there are other treatments and medicalized treatments that can be helpful.
Yeah. So the most common treatment for bedwetting is basically a medication that tops up that vasopressin we were talking about. So, you know, we all produce the vasopressin, which suppresses the kidneys' urine production at night, but some children take longer to produce the required amount. So essentially the treatment is topping up their own vasopressin with a medication called desmopressin, which is the same thing, to give that signal to their kidneys to stop producing, to reduce the urine production at night. So that is usually used from the age of 7, because it usually that those 5 to 7 year olds are trying the alarm first, but it can also be used from the age of 5 if it's appropriate. And that's something that some children will continue for years, some children, you know, 6 months. And generally they'd be on it for 3 months regularly every day. And then trial a week off it and do that every 3 months to see if the body's vasopressin has sort of picked up, as it were. And then some children use it more occasionally. So they'll use it for the sleepovers, they'll use it for the camps at school. But that tends to be when they've used it successfully before and they just want that extra crutch. You wouldn't just start by using it occasionally.
How quickly would you see a reduction in bedwetting when you're using the vasopressin?
So not always immediately. And there's some evidence to suggest that the longer you use it, the more effective it is. So usually within the first 3 months that you'd notice a difference. If you hadn't noticed any difference in 3 months, you'd think again. But again, you know, it needs to be used properly. So you take it an hour before going to bed. You would make sure the child doesn't drink an hour before taking it and 8 hours after taking it. That's quite important for it to work properly. And you know, people worry about side effects and risks of a medication. It's actually pretty low risk. It's just topping up your own body's vasopressin. But you wouldn't take it if your child's really ill, has a temperature, diarrhea, vomiting, that kind of thing. Or if they have drunk loads of water, you wouldn't give it to them then.
So you'd use it in conjunction with, you know, the things you were talking about at the beginning, like making sure they've gone to the loo at the beginning of the exactly. night, making sure that they're not drinking caffeinated drinks and that the drinks are sort of mainly happening at the beginning of the day rather than the end of the day.
Or during the day, yeah, rather than the end of the day. Exactly, exactly.
And is that the only drug that is available, or do some are others available for different things?
So that's the most commonly used one. There are other medicines that are used, usually kind of under specialist guidance, and it's usually for kind of more intrinsic problems with the bladder. So, for example, if your child really has overactive bladder and the bladder can't hold enough urine, then you'd go down the routes of doing bladder retraining. For example, there's like almost like physio for the bladder to try and help it contain more urine. But also then there's medications specifically for overactive bladder, which things you might come across something called tolterodine or oxybutynin. But these are more specialized treatments that are used to treat a problem rather than just the vasopressin or just the, you know, the habit of bedwetting.
And during the stage, would you just be seeing your GP, or at which stage would you be referred to a specialist?
So your GP would be perfectly capable of helping through to this stage. I think if it then isn't working, that's when you'd go on to see a specialist.
And what about sort of stress and anxiety? I mean, you mentioned that sometimes is a cause of bedwetting.
Yeah, so I'd say people often say, is my child bedwetting because they're stressed or anxious? And for bedwetting that has progressed from potty training, no, it's not caused by that. But obviously it can cause that. It can cause, you know, problems with self-esteem and problems with anxiety because the child gets embarrassed, especially as they get older, that they're still wetting the bed or still needing to use night pants and things. Secondary bedwetting, which we talked about, which is when the child's body has been perfectly capable of going through the night and then suddenly starts wetting at night, it is often caused by, you know, bullying at school or a change in circumstance or stressful period in the child's life. And that's because anxiety suppresses and stress, the stress hormones suppress vasopressin. So there is a direct link between that.
Yeah. And how should we talk to our children about bedwetting? Because obviously there's the kind of inconvenience of bedwetting and the fact that it's a bit difficult for them to do sort of sleepovers. But it's also so embarrassing, partly because we as a society stigmatize it. Mm. How should we be talking to our children about it? How should we be reassuring them, or should we be?
Yeah, no, I think it's really important that children don't feel that it's their fault, and that they are reassured that, you know, this is not uncommon, that lots of other children experience this, that that, you know, it will get better, and there are things we can do about it. It's very rarely in the child's control at all. So do be mindful of that. And I think as parents, you know, we can often get really frustrated because we have to change the sheets, we have to change the pajamas. So trying to be as prepared and practical about it as you can, so that we don't put those frustrations, which are not our child's fault, onto them. You know, if we come in the middle of the night and they could tell that we're really annoyed that we've had to change their sheets again, you know, that's going to just reinforce their low self-esteem about something that is very difficult for them to change on their own. So, you know, things like having you know, waterproof sheets, having absorbent pads that the child can lie on, having a change of pajamas ready, having giving your child the tools to be able to do a lot of it themselves, teach them how to change their pajamas if they're little, teach them how to put clean pants on, teach them where to put their dirty, clothes or bedding. if they're on a bunk bed, you know, get them to sleep on the bottom bunk so that it's much easier for them to get out if they do wake up and need the loo. Put a potty in the room if they're little and don't want to go to the bathroom on their own, or teach them, show them, practice going to the bathroom in the middle of the night with them, that sort of thing. Because I think putting our own stresses on them just exacerbates the problem.
And what about, you know, summer holidays and sleepovers? I mean, that's obviously such an important part of children's development. And yet I can see that children and parents aren't going to want that to happen if bedwetting is a frequent occurrence.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the most important thing is as we talked about, reassuring them and then being proactive about treatments, but also then giving them sort of autonomy and kind of tips and tricks to help them, when they are at the camp or at the sleepover. So, you know, for example, if they've been on medications as well, you know, give them the medication that they can use for that night. If they're doing a camp, then, you know, you can get sleeping bag liners that they can put in their sleeping bag that then they can just roll up if they do have an accident and their whole sleeping bag's not wet. You know, go armed with sort of nappy bags, you know, little nappy bags they can put in their pocket that anything wet they can just put in there and no one really notices. Send them with two pairs of identical pajamas, you know, so that they can change their pajamas. No one's going to ask any questions, and they can sort of tuck the dirty ones away. A lot of people use the what they call the water bottle trick, where they'll bring a water bottle where they sleep, you know, next to their bed or in their tent, and if they do have an accident, they can pour the water onto the accident and say, oh, they just spilt their water, you know. Just giving them tips and tricks that's going to make them not feel so embarrassed about it. Giving them, you know, pull-ups, you know, suggest that they can hide their pull-ups or their in their pillowcase or at the bottom of their sleeping bag, or you know then they can just quickly wriggle into them or out of them without anyone seeing. People often will, especially older children, give them an alarm so they can set their alarm clock for before everyone else wakes up, so they can kind of sort themselves out before anyone else is there. Make sure that whoever they're going with, the parent or the sort of teachers or whatever, are aware that they might just need a bit of privacy and time alone to help sort themselves out if they've had an accident. So I think giving them a bit of power and autonomy over those sort of things can be really helpful. And then they're not missing out on all these things just because they wet the bed.
And ideally, we kind of create a generation of children who understand that it's normal and that you don't tease children who wet the bed and that there is no stigma attached. It's like the same as having a runny nose, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's not normal. Most children are dry by the age of 5 to 7, but it's not a problem and it's not their fault. That's the most important thing. It's a medical condition that they are, you know, getting help with and getting treatment for, but it shouldn't be embarrassing. But of course it is for the children who suffer from it.
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine who wet the bed, her brother called her Rusty Bed Springs her whole life long. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, children, as we all know, can be absolutely cruel. And so that's why, you know, all these little sort of tips that, you know, can help them along the way. I mean, obviously the most important is to get them dry at night, but if they're not, then giving them those sort of tips and tricks can make all the difference.
Well, Chiara, thank you. That's very informative and probably really good for families to know who don't have children who wet the bed, because the likelihood is that there might well be a sleepover or have a conversation with a friend who's totally flummoxed by what's happening to their child. And so good to be informed.
Exactly.
Perfect. Good. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you all for downloading this episode of The Parenthood. You can subscribe, rate and review wherever you found this podcast. Do also share the podcast with anyone that you think might be interested. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm at marina.fogel. But in the meantime, from Chiara and me, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.